So you start up a game show podcast and it goes pretty well for a couple of episodes, and then you remember you have this whole radio theater thing you're working on. And of course you have to get a script out every week so you can record it every week so you can edit it every week to get it out every week so that the listeners can hear it every week. And all of a sudden you realize a whole year has gone by since you got on a podcast and lied through your teeth. Well, turns out we're back. Welcome to Turns Out, the incomparable game of bluffing that'll keep you guessing. I'm your host, David J. Lore. This time out, we have a host of hosts, with the host of Less Than or Equal, Aline Sims.
Hi.
And the co-host of the Macworld podcast, Glenn Fleischman.
I think of myself as a plethora. Thank you.
You do contain multitudes, so. And of course, the host of Random Trek, Mr. Scott McNulty.
Hello.
Hello. How many more times can I say that before it loses all meaning? Host, 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 host.
Anyway. I thought you meant hello.
That too.
Oh, that too.
Well, our topic this week is science fiction franchises. Specifically, where they really came from. Sure, you know that Star Trek started life as Wagon Train to the Stars, and Star Wars came from Journal of the Wills, but maybe you haven't heard the real story behind some of the other classics. Of course, only one of these three stories is true, and it's up to you, Scott, to figure out which one it is. Are you ready to go?
No.
Damn it!
But I'll go anyway. I'm never ready. That's my secret.
All right, so we have three stories, one from Aline, one from Glenn, and one from me, and one of us will be telling the truth. So why don't we...
I know it's not Glenn.
So that's the bluff and the double bluff.
That's right.
You're supposed to be telling the truth, but you actually aren't.
He has the honorary reverse psychology seat on the panel. So why don't we be all chivalrous and we'll start with Aline.
Okay, mine's going to be short, but it's a cool story. So we all know, Scott, Deep Space Nine was... created to be a ripoff of Babylon 5, maybe.
Right? Sure. Like we all might know that.
Yeah, we all might know that, Deep Space Nine, they heard it, producers at Paramount heard about like Babylon 5 and they were like, oh no, we have to come up with something. You know, we've got to compete. And Star Trek, instead of taking place in space, is going to take place on a space station, which is a controversial decision to many.
To boldly stay.
Contrary to that popular belief, though, is the truth, which is that in the 50s, there was a Canadian show starring James Doohan and it had Shatner guesting because, Canadian TV is still very similar to what it now is similar to what it was then. You know, you can look at actors and be like, oh, yes, this is clearly shot in Canada, right?
It's all the maple syrup and the mousse.
Right. They've got a very distinctive look and they say a boot. And that's right. That is how we know that they are Canadian. But this show was set on a space station, and that is where the idea for Deep Space Nine actually came from, was James Doohan and, guest starring Shatner. This show that took place on a space station was actually, it was a homage to the, or homage, if you want to be fancy, to the 50s Canadian show.
Do.
Yeah, I mean, why not be fancy?
Fascinating.
Oh, no,
am I supposed to ask questions? I forget if this. I'm allowed to grill people.
Oh, by all means, yes.
So, Aileen, what was the name of this mysterious 1950s Canadian show?
Oddly enough, I did not find that information.
It was a different time in Canada.
It was a different time, a less internet documented time.
Yeah, Canada wasn't on the internet in the 1950s. It was backwards right. That way.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
All right. As your host, I am allowed to use the internet. It was called Space Command.
Ah, Space Command.
I mean, that's a very specific title, isn't it?
That's right.
Not like Space Academy or Star Trek or.
That sounds very plausible to me. Sounds very plausible to me. The internet, like something like the internet exists. Now, come on.
Well, you're right. It was the library computer.
That's much better.
A microfiche.
little square blank thing you stick into a slot and it goes beep, boop, beep, beep,
the,
beep.
The voice of Majel Barrett in my ear.
Oh, Majel.
Aw. R.I.P. All right. Well, I think that's plausible.
Okay.
That's what I say. Well, I don't know if James Doohan is a Canadian. Although that doesn't mean he couldn't be on a Canadian show. I know William Shatner, of course, is Canadian.
He's Quebecois, no less.
Oh, that's true.
Yes, but from Montreal.
Fremont.
And he likes himself.
Peculiar that. At least he does.
Speaking of, why don't we go to Glenn? Yes.
Oh, well, speaking of people liking it, I love myself.
He's the William Shatner of the Incomparable.
And you know William Shatner.
Oh, that's great. But I haven't been blocked by him yet. That's the good part. So there's a TV show called Star Trek. You may have heard of the original series.
What?
Tell me more.
This is not about that show. This is about, okay, so everyone knows, famous story. I'm going to bore listeners because we all know. Two good seasons, and then there was a big petition campaign because it was going to go off the air. Season 3 came back, which was possibly not as good a season as the first two. A lot of the actors involved had trouble getting work after that, and the other folks involved in the show were trying to make their way in television, and there wasn't really a successor sci-fi show. There were shows that came and went, but nothing really stuck. So one of the people involved in the show, who was involved in the third season, Fred Freiberger, he was really wanted to come up with something new, and he wound up being a consultant on, and then later the showrunner in the second season, a show called Space 1999. I don't know who remembers that show.
Oh, I had anybody? The lunchbox.
Do you ever see that show, Scott?
I have heard of that show. I've never actually watched it.
I remember watching it as a kid. I loved it. It was so much more out there in some ways than Star Trek. So you had really much more like almost Doctor Who exotic aliens. It was shot in Great Britain in the Pinewood Studios, same place that the Ealing studio or the Ealing comedies. I forget. Anyway, it was – but this guy, Fred Freiberger, he was one of the Star Trek people. And so he was trying to – you know, they're trying to come up with this great success. And the show kind of plodded along in the first season. So season two rolls along. There's been some disputes among the producers and a divorce. And Freiberger becomes the showrunner. And he says, you know, what we really need is somebody like Scotty. We need somebody who's smart. We need to add a character to the show to liven things up. Because Martin Landau was the lead actor on it, and he is great, but you know, very cold, right? We need somebody who's smart but a man of action. He thought about, you know, he's talking about Scotty getting into fights and having, you know, high dudgeon and all that. And so the casting director for the show got confused, and they thought he wanted James Doohan, so they called James Doohan in for the audition, and it's kind of awkward. Not really the thing that's supposed to happen there. And so in the end, Freiberger cast Tony Anholt as newcomer security chief Tony Verdesky, who has all the daring do and the dashing stuff. He's kind of like a secondary lead, but awkward moment for James Doohan. And unfortunately, Space 1999, it lasted that second season, but never became the, you know, multi-year franchise spawning thing that they'd hoped. There was a third season planned, never made.
Oddly enough, Barry Morse was a guest on Space Command back in the 50s.
Go figure. All roads lead to Space Command.
Apparently. And of course, they fired him at the end of season one of Space 1999. I know too much about Space 1999.
I know almost nothing about Space 1999, except perhaps it happens in 1999. Which is when, of course, the eugenics wars happen in Star Trek. But we're not talking about Star Trek. We're talking about things kind of related to Star Trek, possibly.
Anyway.
So Glenn, tell me what the Freiberger, this guy's name. What was his role on Star Trek? What did he do on Star Trek?
Well, I believe he was deeply involved in the third season.
In some way. Once again, lost to the mists of time.
Exactly. Who knows?
I don't know.
All I know is he knew Scotty. He knew James Doohan.
Well, who doesn't know James Doohan? Missing a finger, James Doohan. All right, well, I have no other questions. I rest my case, Your Honor.
Do we need more detail about Barry Morse? No. Going once. Okay, fine.
He has a code.
All right, well, I've got a story, too.
All right, lay it on me.
In doing research for this episode, it is where I found out about Space Command and James Doohan and Bill Shatner and all that. And yes, James Doohan was Canadian by birth.
Look.
So,
Vancouver.
Back in the 50s, struggling actors, you take jobs, you know. And James Doohan was basically the Buffalo Bob of the Canadian Howdy Doody Show. And yes, it was called the Canadian Howdy Doody Show. It was sort of adapting the concept. It's instead of a Western, it was a Northern. So it was a little more Canadian, a little more gentle. And he was Timber Tom, the forest ranger. And occasionally, William Shatner filled in as Ranger Bob. Go figure. That's not my story, though, because early on in the run, as a unique thing for the Canadian version of the show, they used to have a segment that had a puppet named Mr. X. Now, Mr. X traveled through time and space in a cardboard box called the What's-His Box. And the idea was that he would teach children about history. And unfortunately, parents thought the Mr. X puppet was just a little too scary. So they wound up taking that segment out and they just sort of got rid of it. Here's where it's interesting. The man who was the head of programming at the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation at the time was Sidney Newman, who about 8 or 9 years later wound up at the BBC, where he created a show about a man traveling through time in a box called Doctor Who. Doctor Who basically came from the Canadian Howdy Doody Show. Who knew?
I did not know that.
And it's all true.
Well, that's, Doctor Who is full of cardboard boxes. It's true, too.
That's right. And a lot of what's-ises. Well,
that's true. Certainly the early seasons of Doctor Who.
And puppets.
Mostly filmed inside a cardboard box. that perhaps once contained a puppet. Well, I have so many questions, but I can't actually think of...
It's also where the show Blue Peter came from, because of the blue box, right?
Maybe not.
Keep it clean.
That's where Torchwood came from.
Ah, there you go. So this show was called the Canadian Howdy Doody. It was actually literally called Howdy Doody.
It was called the Canadian Howdy Doody Show. They're Canadians. They're very polite.
In Canada, it's just called bacon. It's not Canadian bacon.
Right.
So I feel like it would just be Howdy Doody, and they would know the Canadian is assumed. But I don't know. I'm not a Canada expert.
Yeah, maybe that was Erica the Canadian on. Content.
That could be. I don't know. And so he was a network executive in Canada, mm-hmm. and then he went over the pond, as they say, and joined the BBC. Is that correct?
That is correct. Well, he kind of moved from place to place. He wound up at ABC, not American ABC, but the British ABC that spawned the Avengers. He was actually behind
Canadian ABC.
No, this was in
French
Britain,
ABC.
But that's he's the one who basically created the Avengers too, and John Steed and Emma Peel and all that. Which is, another hero with a female companion saving people from science things.
That's true. More umbrellas.
More umbrellas, yes.
Doctor Who, generally.
So he moved to the ABC, and then he wound up going over to the BBC. And I feel like Holly should be here, so she could tell me all about how he, picked his assistant, Verity Lambert, from ABC, and brought her over to the BBC to run Doctor Who. And
Holly from Red Dwarf? I love Holly.
Yeah, she's great.
Oh. I'm sorry. Wrong one. That's a real show, Red Dwarf.
Red Dwarf is a real show.
the voice of Hattie Hayfield in my ear.
In Canada, it's called Red Dwarf.
Dwarf.
I feel like you're all lying, but I know that's not true.
No, in Canada they call it Red Green.
Oh,
thank you.
I love Red Green.
Yes, I haven't seen that in forever. It's on PBS every once in a while.
There's ducks in New York and ducks in Red Green.
I missed it. So,
my choice. I'm going to recap my choices here so that I remember. So we've got Deep Space Nine coming from Canadian Command Space Command show from the 50s, starring James Doohan with guest appearances by William Shatner.
Mm-hmm.
We've got I've completely forgotten Glenn's
Space 1999.
Space 1999.
Being a Star Trek ripoff by former people involved in it that tried to cast
James Doohan.
A James Doohan type. But not James Doohan type.
Yes. Give me somebody like James Doohan.
I heard
you like James Doohan. So here he is. He's the James Doohanist. And finally,
James Doohan enough.
The origins of Doctor Who trace directly back to Canadian James Doohan.
To Canadian Howdy Doody.
That's right. Also known as
Howdy Doody.
James Doohan. Just Howdy Doody. I call him American Howdy Doody. Thank you very much.
And I will say, in honor of our guest of honor, all of the stories involve Scott.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah. Aww. Who knew?
Who knew? It's a happy, cool, winky dink, as they say. Nobody says that. I'm sorry.
You just did.
This podcast is over.
I think it's a thing now.
It's a thing. Internet, #, kawinkydink.
No. What have you done?
I don't know what I've
done. That's Glenn-level destruction, Scott.
So I don't know. They all sound ridiculous in equal ways. But I think the Canadian Howdy Doody, a show actually called Canadian Howdy Doody, I feel like is not true. So I'm gonna knock that one out. It's two lies and a truth, right? Two of these are wrong.
Two lies and one truth.
All right, so I'm knocking out Canadian Howdy Doody with all due respect, Mr. Doody.
All duty respect.
That leaves me with Space 1999 and Space Command.
Mm-hmm.
And they both seem equally unlikely to me. But I feel like, I don't know. I don't think that Deep Space Nine can trace its roots back to Space Command. So I'm going to knock that out. Although I will say, if you are listening and you haven't watched Deep Space Nine, you should really give it a check out. It's far better than Babylon 5.
Yes.
Take that,
yes.
People who like Babylon 5.
It's going to be a fight on the internet yet.
Yes. I should actually...
That's so unusual.
I should fess up that I have seen probably 3 episodes of Babylon 5, so I cannot...
We should have you on the show Random 5.
That's right. I would be good at that.
I mean,
Box Lightyear.
Talk about a show. You want to take a serialized show and watch it all at random.
Oh, my
that's,
God.
That's brilliant.
That would be great. Who is the whole show? Who is that? What?
Great.
What's going on?
Make any sense.
Is that Harlan Ellison? What is he doing there?
I don't understand.
Chekhov. Chekhov's in this one.
Is there good or evil?
Billy Mummy?
So that leaves me with, I'm going to, against better judgment... And all that is right in the world that is telling me that I should not make this decision, I'm going to say that Glenn is telling the truth, and it involves Space 1999 in some way.
Well, I broke the show again in a different way this time.
This time around, Glenn is not telling the truth.
No!
No!
Except everything I said, there is a show called Space 1999, but every single detail... It just about is incorrect. Scott Doohan wasn't involved. It wasn't inspired by Star Trek. They weren't trying to make a spinoff. There was a Star Trek connection. So I don't know.
Although
David, maybe I was too close. Was I too close to the truth, though?
No.
Did Scott get some points?
You played the game close to the truth, right.
So I still win.
I think that's probably correct.
Fred Freiberger did Jim get Doohan involved did not in have, Space 1999. You're right.
It's true, but much later. He wasn't involved in
the
conception.
No.
It's
See, that's what threw me off.
He was the
Exactly.
He was the one where it's like, Well, you know, we need someone to fix the show. Hey, how about that guy who did the last season of Star Trek? He kept it on one more year.
It's a terrible show. Let's bring it.
That was gold. Oh. That was sort of like indicative of their decision making through the whole series.
Yeah, it's not.
Well, now I'm going to go with my backup answer then and say that Aileen is telling the truth and Canadian Howdy Doody is still alive.
Unfortunately.
What? Damn it.
Unlikely as
Canadian
it seems.
Howdy Doody is now my nemesis.
This is good.
Dan, Canadian Howdy Doody is actually a thing. And yes, yeah. James Doohan was Timber Tom or Timber Tom.
Tim Burton?
I keep wanting to say Timber Tim, but it's Timber Tom. And William Shatner occasionally filled in as Ranger Bob. And Robert Goulet occasionally filled in, believe it or not.
This is the most unbelievable thing you've ever seen.
But yes, it was a short-lived puppet character named Mr. X. And the CBC was run by Sidney Newman, who then went on his merry way to England and created Doctor Who and the Avengers.
Oh, that's good.
Isn't that insane?
They called it Canadian Howdy Doody. That was the name of the show.
As far as I can tell.
I'm looking this up now. I'm violating the rules. Do you understand? It's like What's It Box. This is amazing.
Like, there were a couple of international versions. In Mexico City, they had La Hora de Howdy Doody. But in Canada, it was the Canadian Howdy Doody show.
Oh, my God.
Canada, you disappoint me.
Go figure.
That was impressive, David.
Thank you. Well, it sounded so incredibly bizarre. You know? I was thinking about doing a thing about, like, Star Trek actors and early roles they had had. And so I just started doing this research, and I found Space Command, and I found Canadian Howdy Doody. And then I got to that part and went, oh no, that's the theme. That's what we're doing.
Now you have to explain for all of us, because you even told me this ahead of time, Space Command was also a real show.
Yes, Space Command is a real show.
But
it had nothing to do with Deep Space Nine.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Space 1999 had Moonbase Alpha, which is, of course, inspired, I believe, the names of Frank Zappa's children.
That's true. That's, I think so, yeah.
That's a lie.
Also a lie.
Hooray!
There is no Dweezil, but there is a Moonbase Alpha.
But it would have been a lot better with a Dweezil.
That's right. Everything's better with a dash of Dweezil.
Not too much, though. You don't want to overdo.
No, no. Right. You don't want to throw the balance off.
Yeah. A little Dweezil blew you.
Ah, very nice. All right, well, let's go on to the lightning round now.
I thought we were done.
I know.
Now I get struck by lightning.
I know.
That's my punishment.
This has occasionally been called the Fleischman round. So,
margarine.
So this round is open for everybody. I was watching an episode of The Man from U.N.C.L.E. the other day. Okay, it was a few years ago. All right, I bought the episode on VHS in the early 90s. Anyway,
liars.
It was called The Project Strigus Affair, and our heroes team up with a young William Shatner, and the villain is Werner Klemperer and his devious henchman, a young Leonard Nimoy.
Oh, my God.
Go figure. It's kind of amazing. It's actually a really good episode because it's from the first season before the show got too silly. And so, you know, it's like, oh my God, it's Kirk and Spock. And it's like the year before they filmed Where No Man Has Gone Before. So it's really wild to see them together like that. So, you know, and of course I love watching old and even forgotten TV shows because, you know, you never know who's going to show up in them. So the name of our lightning round this time is Random Trek. I'm going to read you a character and the episode and show they appeared on, and you have to tell me if it was Shatner, Nimoy, or Kelly. There might be a curveball in there, but only one, I promise.
Oh, I'm a big fan of DeForest Kelly, so I may be able to. That's right. Kelly Green.
So are you ready to go?
No. Yes.
No? What? Hey! Yes.
Maybe.
Okay.
That's my line.
Harry Wells in the episode Hot Dust of Highway Patrol.
Ooh, Highway Patrol.
Wait, who's first?
Oh, this is just for everybody.
We just
for everybody. Oh, I'm sorry.
You can conspire. You can
Each of us will pick one person each round, and then we will all win.
We broke the code.
Oh, no.
Harry Wells. What's the show again?
It's Highway Border Patrol.
And the Highway Patrol.
The episode is Hot Dust.
I'm going to say Shatner.
I already
sounds
said
very T.J. Hooker. Well, I'm going to agree with you, Scott.
Thank you.
T.J. Hooker.
It is actually Leonard Nimoy.
No!
What?
And get this. Here's,
are you sure?
Here's the plot of the episode. Lab worker Harry Wells flees and aggressively avoids people after being accidentally exposed to dangerous radioactive dust.
Excellent.
Oh. Mm. Well, it's, you know, he's doing the right thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Logical.
But probably speeding, I suppose.
And he gets stopped by Broderick Crawford and, well.
Hijinks ensue.
Okay. Ike Clanton in the gunfight at the OK Corral episode of You Are There.
Well, I know that they reenacted the OK Corral episode for Star Trek with DeForest Kelly in it. So I think that's... Oh, but he was in the movie. He wasn't in the...
Well, if it's a Western, I was just going to... I already made my mind up that I was going to guess DeForest Kelly no matter what.
Yeah, that's true.
This seems like a plan. He's trying to sabotage us.
No, that's a safe bet. It was DeForest Kelly.
Oh, okay. Well, isn't that the connection, too, is that the OK Corral-ish episode of Star Trek, the original series, wasn't that a reference to his Westerns in general, but I thought it was because he had appeared in a famous, I didn't realize it was a reenactment, though, of it.
I don't think it was because of a specific one. If our episode this week is brought to you by the books These Are the Voyages, which tell you all these stories about how the episodes came about.
I see, okay.
And so, yeah, they just picked that as a notorious piece of history that could be, you know, that Kirk would know. You know, Kirk would suddenly be obsessed with Wyatt Earp and be able to tell the whole story. Because exposition.
Great. That's what you do.
Okay. Archie Goodwin in the failed 1959 pilot for Nero Wolf.
You're a terrible person because you know my love for Nero Wolf.
All right, glad this is all you.
Uh-huh. I'm aspirational Nero Wolf. That's my goal in life.
And see, here's the great thing, because it's who is the most Archie Goodwin like, but then the pilot failed, so maybe it wasn't the right cast.
Well, was Shatner was not. I could see Shatner in 1959. No, he was still in Canada in 1959, though. I don't think he was acting in America. Show.
Was it called The Canadian?
I would watch the hell out of that.
Archie Goodwin, eh?
How's it going, Archie? Aw, oh, beauty, Nero.
Nero Moose. And he's raising spruce pine in his attic. Not orchids.
I gotta guess Nimoy.
Nimoy, just because, yeah.
I think it's Nimoy. I'm going Nimoy, too.
It is actually Shatner.
Oh! I thought he was still in Canada then. Was this Canadian Nero Wolf?
Well, like, maybe.
Maybe.
All right.
There's no way to tell.
I always like when the guy from Canon played Nero Wolf with Lee Horsley. That was great. And
that was pretty good, yeah.
It was strange. It was such a...
Carlo Roswedowski in the Dragnet episode, The Big Name.
That is a big name.
It is a big name.
Finally a show I've heard of.
I have an encyclopedic knowledge of Dragnet. I've seen every episode 20 times. No, I'm lying. I saw him a lot as a kid, though. I think I did watch the whole run. It's a great show.
And I will specify it as the 50s Dragnet. So.
Oh, the 50s
classic,
Dragnet.
Classic Dragnet.
I'm mostly familiar with the movie.
I'm gonna guess this is a DeForest Kelly thing. Nimoy? I think...
I'm gonna guess Shatner, just so we can cover him.
Nimoy!
Yes!
I mean, his name is Roswedowski.
That would be the most appropriate choice, one thinks, but...
All right. Menemsha Faxon.
Oh, jeez.
In the Route 66 episode, Build Your Houses with Their Backs to the Sea.
Oh,
a very
of course.
Poetic title.
Every Route 66 has a poetic title. I kind of love it, and I kind of get tired of it. It's a good show, though.
The Twilight Zone episode now.
I don't know if I've ever seen Route 66, but I know that's where you get your kicks.
Well,
that may be where you get your kicks. I don't know.
Well, I'm just saying.
Well, we're going to Winona.
I feel like it's not DeForest Kelly, but that could mean that it is DeForest Kelly.
I think it is DeForest Kelly. I don't know. He was always kind of cowboy-like, but it's Route 66. It was the new Old West. Is he trying to harken back? Let's say DeForest Kelly. I'm saying DeForest Kelly.
All right. You've convinced me. DeForest Kelly.
Shatner.
Oh!
Shatner.
Michael Wells in the Millionaire episode, The Iris Miller Story.
The Millionaire episode? I've never even heard of. Is that, that's the show, The Millionaires?
Yeah, The Millionaire. It was a guy who every week he gave $1 million. The Millionaire was like John Beresford
Tipton. The Millionaire!
And each week it was an anthology to see what the person he gave $1 million would do with $1 million.
Hmm. Was this a Brewster's Million things where they had to... Can't spend it all. The person who got it had to spend it.
I don't think he had to spend it. I don't think there were any strings on it like that.
So here's $1 million. So one week someone puts it into high yield annuities, and the entire episode is them looking at their bank book.
It's like it's Tipton calling them up, going, "Really? That's smart. All? But is that all you're going to do? It's a good idea. I'm not, but you know, I okay.
One person
Nimoy.
Bought. Nimoy.
Sure. What? I don't even know.
That would be DeForest Kelly.
No. And
also playing a doctor. Go figure.
Damn
doctor,
it.
Dr. Michael Wells.
I'm a doctor, not a millionaire, damn it.
Now you're both.
Oh, that's confusing. Well, I have to spend all the money. Right.
Oh, that's right.
Joe.
An entire hospital in those days for $1 million.
Joe Shatley. In the 20 Aching Years episode of Sam Benedict.
Okay, now we've gone way down the well. I'm going with Aileen.
I like the conviction. Shatner. I second that, Shatner.
Tertiary vote.
There would be Nimoy.
Don't let my confidence fool you. I've led you astray. I apologize.
Oh, man. Kenneth Preston. In the Studio One episode, The Defender.
This is another show I've never heard of.
Now we're going to shows. You're going back to shows that only survive on kinetoscope.
I will give a little backstory on this one. Studio One was an anthology series. The Defender actually spawned the series The Defenders, which was about a father and son lawyer. A lawyer team.
William Shatner.
I was going to say, it's just a horrible accident. Melds a father and a son. A law firm.
Rosie like Greer and Ray Milland are the defender.
That's right.
William Shatner, didn't he have a role on some law show later? Boston Legal, L.A. Law?
He did, yes. Boston Legal.
And yes, this was in fact
Topeka Barrister.
This was in fact
shows
Shatner.
Are L.A. Law, Chicago, Hope, was that about lawyers?
No, that was about doctors.
I think that was a hospital.
Okay.
Yeah. No, this was in fact Shatner, and the Defenders spun off with E.G. Marshall and Robert Reed in the Shatner role.
Nine.
But what because of that, Boston Legal did an episode where they actually used the footage from the Studio One, and they just changed Shatner's character's name to Denny Crane, who he was in Boston Legal. So,
that's funny.
Kind of interesting.
I like
that.
He was
pretty good in Boston Legal.
Yeah.
I like T.J. Hooker. T.J. Hooker was best.
T.J. Hooker was good.
This it was one, all the hood riding. That was
this like
that.
This one, since we've talked through it so much, this one might be a giveaway. Morgan Earp in the movie Gunfight at the O.K. Corral.
I think I might know this one.
No,
DeForest Kelly.
Yes.
It's DeForest Kelly. Because he was amused that Spectre of the Gun was the third time he had been reenacting the gunfight at the OK Corral, and each time as a different person.
You were excellent at lying to me when I asked that question earlier. I appreciate that. Your mendacity is appreciated.
Well, it's still not why they made it that in the episode. He just thought that was funny.
So they had DeForest Kelly, and they did an OK Corral thing, and it had nothing to do with the fact that he'd been in the OK Corral like twice before?
Yep. That's just funny. That's what we do.
DeForest. Keep talking. We're working on this script here.
Yeah. Okay. Captain Hall in the YORD episode of Science Fiction Theater. From the makers of GOG, by the way.
Can you repeat that, please?
He cannot.
Captain Hall in the Y-O-R-D episode of Science Fiction Theater.
Do you know what Y-O-R-D stands for?
I have forgotten. I've actually seen this episode. It's basically, it's an alien SOS call.
Oh.
It's like frozen outpost where they keep getting the message Y-O-R-D, Y-O-R-D.
It stands for you only ring double.
Ring, ring.
See, that's Nimoy. It. That's the only chance. You Nimoy.
Only ring double.
Two rings, two ears, Nimoy.
I was thinking Shatner.
It's actually Kelly, because Captain Hall is also a doctor.
Oh.
Go figure.
Typecast.
Typecasting. Rick's Catlin in the Laramie episode, The Runt.
The Runt.
And that's
Laramie, this is, I assume, a Western.
It is a Western. It
therefore,
is
Rick. It's Shatner.
I was going to say Kelly.
Rick's with an X.
It's Shatner.
Well, I'm going to go with my DeForest Kelly. Every Western is always DeForest Kelly.
It's Leonard Nimoy.
No!
Bad cowboy.
I will say, having gone through and looked for things, Nimoy played a lot of Indians in Native Americans. Although at the time,
they would call them Native Americans nowadays.
That's right. But when they were casting him, they called them Indians.
That's true. And they got a Jewish guy to play.
Yeah.
He looked vaguely ethnic, I guess.
Walter, in the episode A Feeling for Friday, from the series Mr. Novak.
trying to get a character here.
I promise these are all real shows.
Mr. Novak.
I'm sure they are.
In the library with the candlestick?
Mr. Novak.
What is the premise of Mr. Novak? Do you know?
If I recall, it's about a teacher.
Oh, a teacher. It's like a Welcome Back Cotter.
Shatner.
Like a serious Welcome Back Cotter. Remember, there is a curveball in here somewhere.
Yes.
He's a doctor. Shatner.
He's
a doctor. It's not Mr. Novak. He's actually a doctor, but they call him Mr.
It's right.
My father's Mr. Novak. Call me Dr. Novak.
It's George Takei.
What?
Oh, my.
That's sneaky.
In one of the few non-Asian names in his CV.
Oh, your.
And finally, Maung Tun, a Buddhist merchant marine from Burma in the Naked City episode Without Stick or Sword.
Oh, well, that's Nimoy because it's ethnic role.
Right.
Yeah, I would say Nimoy as well.
It's William Shatner. And it is worth seeking out. Oh, my God. Speaking of miscasting, he was in another Naked City episode where he played a Caucasian, and he's very good in that one. This one is not.
It's of its time. That's what we like to say nowadays.
Yes, yes. His wig alone is something to behold.
Well, that's true in many of William Shatner's roles.
So, yes, if you've ever wanted to see him play a Burmese Buddhist merchant marine, Naked City.
Yeah. When I hear those words, I think, there's only one actor I want to see play that role. William Shatner.
Mm-hmm. So, I don't know if I'd be able to watch that. I'd just be mad. I'd be really mad.
I find that with a lot of Naked City episodes. It could be a really good show sometimes, but once in a while, it would do something like that. And you've been listening to Random Naked City, the new podcast from The Incomparable.
There are a million cities that are naked, and this is one of them.
That's right.
Phoenix, Arizona.
Well, it turns out.
Hey, wait a minute.
Oh!
Let's not go casting stones here.
You're listening to Random 66, the Route 66 podcast.
It's called The Traveling Salesman Problem, David.
The incredible, the incomparable. I'm all right. Well, it turns out that's all the time we have. Thank goodness. I would like to thank my guests, Aline Sims, Glenn Fleischman, and Scott McNulty. I'm David J. Lohr, and that much is true.
That was good. Now I don't know if I'm Nimoy. divorce Kelly.
Oh, that's right. There are three of us. So we have to pick now.
We pick, and then we take that role for the rest of our lives. That's
right. I think, Glenn, you're clearly Shatner.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, pretty
what
much.
What are you talking about, Scott?
I'm Avery Brooks.
Okay. Now we just get to pick any actor we want to be from Star Trek.
I'll be Saul Rubinek from The Most Toys.
That's a good
Clint
episode.
Howard.
I was in an airport waiting room with Bill Bixby once. Does that count?
For did you get him angry?
I don't know. Were his pants ripped?
Yes, they were. He was very low key.
Checkpoint, except for travel-sized toiletries.